feel comfortable with.
Well, it wasn't to be late, but it's a hell of a lot with that work.
Right, and it's been since 2014 when you revamped the building that this sort of program of has really begun as far as trying to find things and document them and so on, correct?
That's correct. There's came to realization that they just weren't where they had to be. It's most unfortunate. It's a huge problem over many years, unfortunately.
Now, these people who have the greatest respect and affection for the institution of the Buffalo History Museum, and were quick to say, I'm not blaming this curator, I'm not blaming this board member, but that there were, in the last 60 years, I was told, there were numerous steps that even were in the newspapers and so forth. There were incidents of major institutions coming to the archives and saying, we need to see this that you have. And even though it's something that occupied many file boxes, none of it could be located. When I was there, I was told that some very important material had been searched for years, and no one had ever been able to find it.
Right.
And if they're searching for years, another problem I was told by someone who worked in the archives is that imagine some well-meaning Mrs. John Jones in 1927 or 1963 is donating her late husband's collection of whatever it is. And she might send some sort of list that the late husband had, which may or may not represent actually what's being shipped to the Historical Society at that time. You know, it's like, this is the list that I have in my late husband's desk, so I'm sending it along with, you know, the 16 boxes or whatever.
Yes.
And, in fact, there might have been a number of those things which were sold by the husband and he never got around to amending the list. He may have given things to a son or a daughter or a nephew or whatever. And as a result, the well-meaning Mrs. Smith is sending a list saying, these are the hundreds or thousands of items I'm sending you in these 16 boxes, and in fact, a quarter of it was never sent to the museum to begin with.
Yet, people with proper inventory, one would never know.
Exactly, and because so many of these gifts were never inventoried, I'm told, and it might be Mrs. Smith's donation of 16 boxes, two Civil War, two Buffalo Steel, two whatever. And that is, you know, and that's it. And no one ever went through an inventory, even though in the 1960s, that's 50-60s, there were 8 staff in the archive, and then 6, and then whatever. And I'm not finding fault. There are so many jobs that a curator, a library assistant, or whatever an archivist might have to do. I have no idea about the, you know, the finances and so forth in those days, so I'm not trying to pin fault.
Nor do I, so no possible, if I'm with you, I understand completely.
Right.
It's a problem, and it's there.
Right, and
they'll find your fault.
Right, and the fact that somebody could send, say, 16 boxes of valuable, potentially very valuable, historically or financially valuable, that it might have sat in the archive for 30 or 90 years, and no one ever inventoried it. And so what the archive, whoever the archivist, curator of the day, whoever they are, is going by the well-meaning list of Mrs. Jones. Since everything on the list, we own this. When in fact, no one ever opened the boxes properly, went through them properly, and checked, and in fact, 30%, I'm sorry, sir?
No, you go ahead, I'm listening.
30% of what was promised by Mrs. Smith in a perfectly well-meaning way and not trying to get away with anything. She thinks what's on the list is what she's sending. But in fact, 30% of what was on some list, however old it might have been, was never delivered to the archive to begin with. But the archive has a file card, or now on computer, of saying, this is what we got from the Smith collection. And it's listing it as if everything arrived and everything is there. And it's assumed to be owned. And until...
And there is a good going through for it, of course, you never really know.
Exactly. And you, sir, as an accountant and someone that deals with precision, understand that this, for the sake of argument, just to get easy numbers, somebody says in a letter, I'm sending you these 1,000 items, and they're sending a list of the supposed 1,000 items that the husband had that might be a month old or 8 years old. Mm. And in fact, 709 are what actually arrive at your door. And then...
and given the staffing problems, et cetera, it may never fully documented.
I was told by the curator or director of the archive at the time that this is a common problem with gifts of large quantities of material.
Documentation and stuff like that. It's very, very true.
And so the problem then is if well-meaning Mrs. Smith, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to be boring and pedantic, but I'm coming to a point, I promise you. If the well-meaning Mrs. Smith thinks she's donating 1,000 items, or she may not even believe she's donating 1,000 because she knows that some of them were sold off by her husband during his lifetime, but she does not have the inclination to get a secretary in to go through everything item by item. She's just going to send the most recent list that she had. She's going to send this lovely, generous donation, and the archives of the Historical Society thinks that it's getting 1,000 items, and it's getting 709. Which then means the other 291 may have been given to family members, sold on the open market or whatever. And what happens, if ever, something is sold at a Sotheby's auction, and it was part of that collection. But there's a 3x5 file card, I'm talking about 50 or 100 years ago,
that's what there was,
in the Historical Society saying, we own blank. But blank was actually legally sold by the late husband a year before he died, or was given to a nephew, and 20 years later he passed away and decided to sell. And now this item is being brought up for public auction, and on paper it would look as though it's something that is supposed to have been in the archive collection, but that does not mean that someone stole it from the archive. It could just simply mean that this is part of what was sold off before the generous donation was made. So, now the problem is, to me, it's one thing for a collection that is supposed to have over 2 million items. And I was told the number was 1,250,000 about 50 years ago.
It's obviously a great deal of appreciation.
Right. And of course, there are a lot of corporations that sadly went bankrupt in the 70s and 80s and left. I understand large collections of their documents and photographs and so forth. So I'm told that the 2 million item number in the archive is a conservative number. Does that sound right to you?
It sounds eminently reasonable, I'll put it that way.
All right. Now, if, in fact, there are 1,000 or 3,000 items missing, that's bad enough. But the fact that these county historians and a few town historians and someone from one of the old Buffalo families who's a history buff and goes into the archive and has done research on a regular basis for many years all believe, based on all of the requests they've made over many years and all the things that cannot be found at all and the things which would take up a substantial amount of space, you know, I mean 80 books or 10 file boxes.
Common boxes, like you say, they take a lot of space up and they take an enormous amount of time.
Right. And for someone to request something like some volume out of those 80 books or something out of those 20 file boxes, and then the curator has to come forward and say, I can't locate those 20 file boxes.